We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
We sing a song sometimes that begins with the words, "How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its precepts shine, to guide my soul to heaven. Holy book divine, precious treasure mine." Indeed, the Bible is a precious book. The Word of God is without a doubt one of the most precious commodities that we as human beings have. In today's program, we're going to talk about the subject, why was the Bible written? In Psalm 138 and verse 2, David said to the Lord, "I will praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name." Friends, this verse tells us how the Lord feels about His Word. David said He has magnified His Word above all of His name. Now, this verse tells us that the Word of God is of great value in His sight. And anything that's of great value to God should also be of great value to us. And so it's appropriate that we spend time studying today the precious book divine, the Bible. The specific question that I want for us to consider in this study is, why was the Bible written? Why was the Bible written? You know, every book that is written has some purpose. Think about a dictionary. Why is a dictionary written? It has a purpose. It tells the meaning of words and the usage of words. It explains how to pronounce words. It has several purposes. Consider a commentary. Sometimes men write commentaries on various books of the Bible to help explain them, to tell the meanings of certain passages, and to help in understanding. It has a purpose. Consider even a comic book. Someone might say, well, what's the purpose of a comic book? It does have a purpose. It's the purpose of entertainment. Well, what about the Bible? What is its purpose? Why was the Bible written? We want to notice six short reasons in this lesson today. Why was the Bible written? First, I want us to consider that the Bible was written, first, that man might know his Creator. You know, we might consider the Bible an introduction to God, as well as an introduction to mankind. I'd like to give you a challenge. I want you to think about everything that you know about God that did not come from the Bible, directly or indirectly. Think about that for a moment. Everything you know about God that did not come from the Bible. It's not going to be a very long list, because the Bible is the source of how God reveals Himself to mankind. And someone says, well, without the Bible, I could still know that God exists. I won't argue with that. The psalmist wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork," Psalm 19 and verse 1. The psalmist was pointing out that just looking around at the world and the things in it are enough to tell us that supreme beings, or a supreme being, does exist. These things did not just happen. This world isn't an accident. And so a logical, reasonable thinker, even without the Bible, can know that a supreme being does exist. But what else can you tell me about God? If you had never seen a Bible, if you had never heard anything taught from the Bible, what could you tell me about God? What would you know about His nature? Is He a just God? Would you know? Is He a good God? Do you know anything about that? Is He a God of wrath? I don't know. But with the Bible, what can you tell me about the nature of God? Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4 says that He is a rock. His work is perfect, for all of His ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is He. Exodus 22 and 27 says, He is gracious. Romans 11 and 22 says, "Behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God." God is good, but He's also severe. 1 John 4 and verse 8 says, "God is love." in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, I learned that I am made in the image of God. All of these things I know about God because of the Bible. This is one of the reasons why the Bible was written, so that man may know his Creator. A second reason that the Bible was written is to cause belief. To cause belief. In John chapter 20 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Now, verse 30 of this text is very interesting in and of itself. If you read the book of John, you find out in chapter 2 that Jesus turned water into wine, a miracle. John chapter 4, we read about the healing of the nobleman's son. In chapter 5, we read about the healing of the impotent man. Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. Chapter 6, Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Chapter 6, Jesus walks on the water. Chapter 9, he heals a man who was blind from birth. Chapter 11, Lazarus is raised from the dead. Now friends, to read these amazing things that Jesus did, and then to hear John say, "Many other signs did Jesus which are not written in this book," that's incredible. Makes me wonder, what were some of those other signs? But I want to ask you the question, what was the purpose of all of these miracles? Friends, the purpose was to cause belief in mankind, to prove that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. What about the times then when miracles were past? What then? How are men going to be convinced after the days of miracles? That's verse 31. John says, "These things are written, they're written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Why was the Bible written? This is one of the reasons. It is written to produce belief. You know, some people today still think that they need miracles to produce belief in man. But that's not what John said. That's not what the Holy Spirit wrote. It said that the written word is enough. You know, it's not necessary for me today to have to be a first-hand witness. In fact, Jesus told Thomas, he said in John 20 and 29, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." You know, in Luke 16, in the account of the rich man and Lazarus, you remember the rich man was in torment and he cried to Abraham and he said, "Send Lazarus to my brothers who are still on the earth." You remember what Abraham said to him? Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Now, they didn't literally have Moses and the prophets because the Moses and the prophets had passed on. But they had their writings. He said the writings were sufficient. That was enough. Well, friends, the Bible was written so that we could know our Creator. The Bible was written to produce belief. This book is a perfect book, written by 40 different men over 1,600 years. No contradictions. And it contains the evidence necessary to produce faith in our lives. Number 3, why was the Bible written? That we might have eternal life. Still in John chapter 20 and verse 31, the Bible says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing," listen to it, "ye might have life through His name." Friends, one of the reasons that God wrote this book for us was so that we could have eternal life. Without this book, man would not understand the sin problem. We would not understand the fact that all men sin and enter into a lost state in the eyes of His Creator. Without this book, we would not know what to do about sin. We consider the Bible kind of like a medical book. Sin is the sickness. The Bible contains the remedy. It is the medical book, so to speak. And without this remedy, we would die in a lost condition. Number four, why was the Bible written? The Bible was written that we might be complete, that we might be perfect. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, the Bible says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect." That's the word that means complete, lacking in nothing, thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good works. If I've got the Bible, I have all that I need to please the Lord. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." You know, there are some people today who believe that they need the direct, miraculous guidance from the Lord in order to understand His Word. They think that they need for angels to appear to them and for the Lord to speak to them in dreams so that they'll know how to serve God. But the Bible says that's not right. In fact, that is wrong. One of the reasons, listen to this, one of the reasons that the Scriptures do exist is so that we may be perfect, complete. There is no information, friends, no information that is lacking that's necessary to serve God properly in this life that I don't have in this book. The Bible was written so that we may know our Creator. It was written to cause belief. It was written so that we might know the way of eternal life. And it was written that we may be perfectly equipped to serve God. Number four, why was the Bible written? The Bible was written so that Christians might know that they are saved. One of the accusations that's oftentimes made against members of the Lord's church, members of the Church of Christ, is those people in the Church of Christ don't know whether they are saved or not. Friends, I'm afraid sometimes that accusation might be true, because many members of the Lord's church walk around every day not knowing whether they're saved. And they'll make statements like this. They'll say, "I hope I've been good enough. I hope that I'm going to make it to heaven." Friends, the thought is that we can't know for sure whether we're going to go to heaven until we die. But folks, that's a miserable existence. And it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, that is one of the reasons that the Bible was written, so that we might know that we're saved. Listen to the words of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now listen to verse 13. "These things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity does not have to be a guessing game. Christianity does not have to be a big wish. For the Lord said we can absolutely know that we are saved. Well, how are we going to know? Well, let's imagine that a man wants to know what he looks like. How's he going to know? Someone says, well, he'll look in a mirror. He'll examine himself. How is a man going to know whether or not he is saved? He's going to have to look into the mirror. He's going to look into the perfect law of liberty, James 1 and 25. He's going to have to study his Bible, in other words. He's going to have to obey it. Examine himself. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. If any man is doing that, and he's faithfully walking in the light, he doesn't have to wonder whether or not he's saved. He is. Now, if you're not walking in the light, if you're not a New Testament Christian, if you're a member of a denomination, if you have sin in your life that you haven't repented of as a child of God even, then you're not saved. And friends, it's as simple as that. Now, some people believe that they're saved. They believe they're saved because of a feeling that they have inside. The Bible never says such a thing as that. John said you may know that you are saved, not by a warm feeling moving inside of you. You know, a lot of people have been fooled by a feeling. The Bible says these things have been written so that you know. I know by the words of the Bible, not by a feeling. You know, we may know that we are saved, but the way that we know is by using the good common sense that God gave us and comparing our lives to the practices in His Word, not by our feelings. Feelings are deceptive. Feelings are oftentimes wrong. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Number five, the Bible was written, number six rather, the Bible was written to give us hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," it's talking about the Old Testament, "they were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." The word hope here is not the word that means wishful thinking, like maybe we'll get into heaven if we're lucky. That's not what it means. The word carries with it the idea of confident expectation. The word carries the thought of happy anticipation. To paraphrase this verse, we might say that one of the reasons that the Old Testament was written was to cause us to look forward to heaven. One more point. The last point that I want us to notice is the Bible was written to judge us eternally. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Some people seemingly have the idea that their judge will be whether or not they were a good person in this life. They believe that as long as they were basically a good person, everything will be okay eternally. And based on that type of thinking, the majority of people think that they are going to go to heaven. But friends, this is very sad, and it should be very disturbing to us, because there are a lot of people who don't even understand the standard by which they'll be judged. And that means that they are going to go into eternity unprepared. But nonetheless, the Bible stands as the written Word of God. It stands as the documented law of God, and it will not be changed so long as this earth remains. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Matthew 24 and 35. You know, whether we as mankind like it, whether we understand, whether we submit to it, the words of the Lord are still going to be our judge eternally. If you are not a faithful child of God, those words are going to stand as a witness against you and will condemn you to eternal damnation. If you are a child of God, a child of the Lord, then those words will stand as a testimony in your favor forever. But no matter what, by these words, you will be judged. The song says, "How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given, bright as a lamp its precepts shine, to guide my soul to heaven." Holy book divine, precious treasure mine, lamp to my feet and a light to my way, to guide me safely home. Indeed, the Bible is a precious book. It teaches man about his Creator. It causes belief in Christ as the Son of God. It teaches how to have eternal life. It instructs us on how to perfectly serve our Lord. It confirms our salvation. It gives us hope. And ultimately, it will be our judge. A long time ago, a man after God's own heart wrote these words about his Lord. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119 and 105. Friend, won't you let His words be a lamp unto your life today? Won't you let the words of the Lord be a light unto your path this very day? If you are not a member of the Lord's church, you need to know. All of those who are not will be lost eternally. Friends, in order to become a member of the Lord's church, a man must hear the gospel, Romans 10 and 14. He must believe it, Mark 16, 15 and 16. And John 8 and 24, Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins." A man must hear it, he must believe it, he must repent of his sins, Acts 17 and 30. He must confess his faith in Christ, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And he must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16.